everybody. I'm Rochelle Witzke, and this is QU, a student podcast on the QU Media Podcast Network. We're in Studio Q at North Campus today, February 16th, and on today's show, we are going to be discussing QU's annual study abroad trip. My guests today are Maria Lopez, Cheyenne DeWeese, and Aaron Hayes. Let's hear more from them.
Hello, I'm Maria. I am a sophomore. My major is criminal justice, and I went on this year's past trip. We went to London and Scotland in 2025.
Hello, I'm Erin. I am a senior. I'm student teaching right now for history education. I went on the trip in 2024, and we went to London and Paris.
Hi, I'm Cheyenne. I am a recent grad. I just graduated last December, and I went on the 2022 trip to London and Dublin, and we got to go in May because we'll get there when we get there.
Awesome. So, everybody here went to London.
Yes.
London in one word. What would you say?
That's
magical.
Magical? Maria?
Overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say culture shock.
Culture shock. Tell me more about that.
Well, I am from Liberty, Illinois, which I graduated with like 40 people. So going from somewhere so small, coming to Quincy to go to school, you know, bigger, more diversity, more culture, you know, that's awesome. And I enjoyed it. But going to a like cultural mecca in a sense and seeing everybody's different ways of life and how they live and buildings that have been there since the 1500s and the shard that was built like in this century was just, it was crazy. It was really cool to experience.
I agree. I will say it's really interesting, especially when you're in the London Eye, which listeners who have not been on the trip is something that you will get to do. You can see the landscape of London. You can see the historical districts and also the very modern, newly updated buildings, which I think is really interesting.
Yeah, you can like see like the divide in the old buildings versus the new buildings. And the architecture, even with the new buildings, is amazing. Like, I don't think we have anything like that that exists in the United States, honestly.
No. Aaron, what do you think?
I thought it was so much fun to go up in the London Eye and see the whole city. We did that on the first day we were there, and it was just a good preview of everything. And it was a nice way to get ourselves acclimated to the city.
I agree. Cheyenne, most of us went on the trip in the winter, but that was not the case for you, was it?
No, not at all.
Tell me more.
I signed up for the trip in 2021. During that time, though, COVID was still kind of
rampant.
Yeah. Putting its hands on things. And right when we were going to go in that January, but it had kind of had a flare up. So we didn't want to risk it getting over there, getting stuck, not being able to go, somebody getting sick. So we took the class in the fall and then took the trip in May, which honestly was way better for me because you guys, I'm sure you'll talk about like the weather when you were there,
but it
was gorgeous. We didn't have to worry about, there was no coats. Yeah. I mean, it barely rained. You kind of get
sunny.
That. You think it's going to be rainy and dreary in a city. And it was, the weather was gorgeous. We got to do a lot of things outside. And
I'm green with envy over here.
I know, me too. Same. It was so cold when we went. It was so cloudy. It was like drizzling the whole time we were there.
Which maybe is the London experience.
Yeah. Like, yes, the, I think like the real true London experience was probably be that, but I am a summer girl, and so I would have much rather gone in May and had some sun and be able to wear five layers.
At least.
Like, double everything. Literally double everything.
Aaron, what about you?
The packing was so much more to go in the winter.
Yes!
We had to pack so many winter clothes. I don't even know. I would have brought my carry-on if I just needed summer clothes.
Yeah, no. No, me too. I would have just had to do one suitcase and be good, but I had a suitcase fiasco.
Suitcase packing was an issue for our trip. Packing was an issue. At least the pre-trip anxiety packing
is
so real. I think I spent like nights stressing yeah. over my suitcase, and I never got it to be as organized as I did before I left.
Yeah, I feel like now that I've gone, like, I've definitely become a lot better with packing and making sure I'm not overpacking. And like before I went to the trip, I started packing 2 weeks before just so I could keep eliminating stuff like day mm-hmm. by day. I'd be like, okay, I don't need this. What do I need this for? I still didn't even wear all my shirts that I brought, which is annoying. And it was, I'll get into the suitcase fiasco in a little bit, but yeah, just if you go, don't overpack and really, really think about what you want to bring for real.
Yes. Let's talk about what this trip is, because I think there might be a certain lack of knowledge on really how mm-hmm. to become a part of this experience. For starters, when I found out about it, I didn't know that much information. I didn't know how Quest Cash worked. I didn't know how payments worked through the school. I didn't even know there were scholarships you could apply for the trip. So how did you guys come across like the London experience, the annual J-term trip?
I got an email. They sent out an email the spring of my freshman year saying like next year, hopefully, as if all goes well with COVID, we'll be starting up our study abroad trips again. And I'd always wanted to go. They're London and Dublin, two of the coolest places on earth. So I emailed the Quest Center, I believe, back, and the teacher who taught my class, the professor, was Dr. Riccardi, who is no longer here, but she was already one of my professors I had. So I just went to her and I was like, hey, I got this email. I'm really interested. I would love to be a part of it. And just got the ball rolling from there.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, hopefully everyone finds out from an email.
Yeah.
Or just even word of mouth. I knew from Maria because yeah. our sister also went on the Paris trip that you went on.
Yeah, she went with Aaron. Yes.
I think like that initial like flyer that they send through that email yeah. where you like see the dates, like the places, like when I saw Scotland, like
I was like, I'm going to Scotland. I'm going.
No, it's immediate.
Like
it's immediate.
I was going to wait till my junior year because that's when you usually have the most Quest Cash. And that's at least what I thought with how that worked was you wait till your junior year to go. But I was like, there's no way I'm passing up on Scotland. But I think next year they might be going back to Dublin, which I'm so mad because then I would have waited to go to Dublin.
Yes, I got the email one day and it was like this thing that was like, see, we're going to have this meeting in the Quest Center, blah, 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 blah. And I remember being on campus that day and I was like, okay, this meeting is literally at 4:00 and right now it's 1:00 and I don't know what to do with my time. Brand new transfer student, didn't know, I barely knew anybody. I was like, I guess I'm just going to sit here. If I really want to do it, I'll just sit here and it'll be fine. And the time will go by quick. So I decided to go. I went to this meeting and I just went in the meeting. I was hooked. I paid my little money. And then one day they emailed me about this Quest Cash that I could use. And I was like, what? What is this Quest Cash? What is this amazing stuff?
I love Quest Cash.
Me too.
It's all gone now.
Yeah, but mine too. I gotta pay my Quest Cash back.
Well, I didn't even know I used my Quest Cash. I will put all my cards on the table. I used all my Quest Cash that I probably could. And there's still like a sum of money left over. Yeah. I don't know exactly how much, but for people wondering like the financials of this trip, something that I did is if you don't have that money readily available, the sum left over is lumped into your financial report at the beginning of the semester. Yes. So if you go through whatever local bank that your student loans are being processed at, that is just lumped into that fee. So if you cannot pay it right now, but I mean,
it'll just go in your tuition.
Yes.
Basically. And then with the Quest Cash, if you decide you want to go your sophomore year, basically you gain your Quest Cash from taking courses here at Quincy. So it's based on credit hours. So if you just pay your Quest Cash by taking your classes and graduating, and then you won't have anything to pay with Quest Cash wise. But you'll still have to pay some out of your pocket for the trip.
Yes, but I would say do not let that stop you. I feel like a lot of people are like, I can't do it because of financial reasons. There's all kinds of assistance out here. You can make it work.
Yes.
There is scholarships also available for this specific trip. And I will tell you, it is a pretty easy application process. Yeah. It is a standard scholarship process. So for people worried about that, because that's a genuine concern, that's a valid concern, going abroad in this economy. But I think genuinely, I would not have gotten this experience for the price I paid.
Yes,
anywhere else.
I agree. Yes,
the organization, they do everything for you pretty much. I just showed up. It was great.
Especially like with the planning, I felt like that was really nice.
Yeah, you just show up. That's all you have to do.
And so especially with studying abroad for the first time, which I feel like this is a good way to do it, because you don't have to do the planning. It's done for you. And Kristen and Nora kind of take you through the process of how they plan it. So if you ever do want to go abroad, you know, you have people you can reach out to for advice on, okay, how do I go about this? They teach you how to pack for abroad. It was just like a great experience for a first-time international traveler.
Cheyenne, you work in admissions. Do you talk to any students who this is like something, a priority for them? Do you market this to students at all?
I definitely bring it up, especially because a part of the campus tour, you go down to the Success Center, and a lot of times Kristen will pop out and say hi and explain the Quest Center, but there's so many people on campus that I had met after the fact that I had gone. I was a sophomore that went, fronted all my Quest cash, and ended up getting a scholarship to go, so really, financially for me, it was awesome, because I don't think I paid really anything out of pocket that I can remember, but, you know, kids come, and there are kids here who don't know what QuestCast is, or that they have it, or that it's an option. So getting the ball rolling, especially because this was a pivotal thing for me. It was one of the coolest things I did in 4 years, was go on a 2-week trip to another country and learn. And being a history major, seeing the places that we talked about made it all the more real. So I definitely have brought it up in our little visits when kids come. Hey, did you go to the Quest Center? Not only do they help with, you know, they have the career closet, they have this, Kristen will help you with resumes, but also there's Quest Cash and you can study abroad, and we do have these things here.
Yeah.
To not necessarily compete with other universities, but to show that we have those things too, and we can compete in that way.
Yeah. So the basis of the trip, for people wondering, is it is essentially a 2-week study abroad trip with the class that you are registered to be in. It starts in London almost always.
Yes.
And then the second location differs from year to year. Maria and I went to Edinburgh, Scotland. Aaron, where did you go?
I went to Paris, France.
How long were you there?
Less than 48 hours.
Oh, gotcha. That's interesting. How was that, like, with the flights and everything?
We actually took a train from London to Paris. The train was like an hour and a half, super easy. We went to Paris. It was great. I loved, the part that stands out to me the most about Paris was the food. It was so amazing.
Am I dumb? Do you have to go over the ocean to get to Paris from London?
They have an underground train, so it goes underwater. You can't see anything. It's super dark out.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's so cool, though.
Is that the English Channel? Is that where you go through? Dr. Coffee's going to listen to this and be so mad.
Sorry. My bad.
Cheyenne, where did you go?
Dublin.
Dublin, aye.
And we got more than 48 hours there, and I'm so glad we did.
Slanche.
How many days were you guys in Dublin for?
4 or 5.
Oh, see, we were only in Scotland for, like, really only 2 days.
Three nights?
Yeah.
Basically, essentially 2 days. It was incredibly beautiful.
I wish we would have been in Edinburgh more than London.
I think it's like easy. What's like the opposite of cabin fever, where you're just in London for too long? You're seeing all the London things. Maybe it's the London people,
Let's talk about that.
I had the exact opposite experience.
Really?
We went to Paris, and we got to Paris the first day, and it was Paris. There was a lot of walking. There was a lot of going around. And everybody was so excited to get back to London. It was like our home.
Are the Parisian people, what's the right word, friendly?
They were. It was hard when they speak another language.
Yeah, especially because their accents are just so, like, thick. Like, they're French, so it's just a different type of... I only really ever encountered extremely nice people in Scotland.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, we had the same experience in Scotland. Everyone was super sweet.
How are the Irish, Cheyenne?
The best people on earth. I got a lot of compliments on my teeth there. That's the one place in the whole world.
I heard that before I went on the trip, and it's because the UK health...
They don't have dental insurance.
They do not have dental. That is the one thing that is not free over there. I mean, it's not free here either.
Yeah, I was going to say, what?
But, I know especially for our trip, we had... some unsavory experiences with some locals in London specifically.
Yeah.
Did you guys have any experiences like that?
No, not at all.
Nope, not at all. Definitely not in London.
So maybe that's, it's an us thing.
Yeah, I think maybe our group was a little loud.
I would say excited, spirited.
I didn't think we were like too... I didn't think we were like too... loud or excited or anything like that. I feel like we were just ourselves, and I guess they just didn't like that. I don't know if it was the weather and so they just were grumpy or what was going on, but they were very grumpy with our group.
Wait, how many was there in your group?
There's only 7 of us.
There was like 20 something in our group.
Yeah, and so I was almost thinking like with a big group like 20, like I was almost wondering if, okay, obviously they're going to be nice to you. You're obviously in a study abroad group. You know, they see a whole bunch of like young Americans together in London. They're probably like, they're studying abroad. We'll be nice. But with us, it was only 7 of us. So I don't know what that could have looked like. I mean, you could have maybe guessed that we were on like a trip as friends maybe, but I don't know.
I don't know. Cheyenne, how many were on your trip?
I don't remember. I think maybe if I count them, I would say less than 15.
Less than 15.
Okay, but so more than 7.
Yeah, so we have an array. Yeah, I prefer the small group.
I did too.
I prefer the large group because there was different personalities. I could hang out. I can hang out with all the different kind of personalities. Yeah. I can do my thing with different people. It was great.
Yeah, I would say that was like probably like the one downside of going with a small group like that was you were just like, it was the 7 of us all the time. So you got tired of each other because you're with each other almost every hour of the day doing everything together. And when you're in a small knit group like that, it's just like hanging out with like a friend.
It can get a little
something.
Tense.
Yeah, for sure. Oh,
that's where the best travel memories come in.
Oh no, for real. That's so true.
So what is like one thing, like the first thing that stuck out to you immediately when you landed in a different country and it just kind of like washed over you like, wow, I am not in the Midwest anymore.
They don't smile at you when you walk by.
Mm.
They're polite, but they're not like overly friendly. They think Americans are overly friendly and very open, where they're like polite and more like conservative in a way, like they're very like tucked in, if that makes sense.
No ice in the drinks.
Mm. Yes. Yeah.
I think it was kind of when we got to London, I was so excited to see the red telephone booths.
Uh-huh.
So excited. And then we get there and they're like full of graffiti and I was like,
ooh. Yeah, outside of the it was the British Museum, there was one, and I don't even know what was inside there, but I think it was bolted shut for a reason.
I heard that like homeless people in London, that they will use the restroom in the telephone booths.
Yes.
If I stand corrected, that's what I heard while I was there.
It happens everywhere.
Yeah.
That is very true.
So
I know for each of us, we all went in different years. Cheyenne, you went in 2023, correct?
Two.
2022. I'm old. Sorry.
Adam, you went last year, 2024.
Adam.
Aaron.
Yeah, Adam, tell us about that.
Aaron. Yes,
I was just testing you to make sure you were awake. So, global landscapes from each year differ on a basis of variety of things. Do you wonder if that affected how you experienced your trip, like what was going on in the world?
Yes.
Explain.
Okay, well, I'll explain. So, obviously, we went after the election, right? Yeah, it was after the election. So, you know, if you don't watch the news, most European countries do have pretty strong opinions on American politics. And so with the new president that was elected for 2024, I think that also could have, you know, gotten us some hate because they think that everyone believes that way. And I'm not going to speak on what everyone believes on because, you know, I don't care and I'm not here to talk about politics. But I think that definitely had an effect on the political state that we were in, especially with the new president elected.
Yes, we went 1 year before you guys.
Yeah.
And I remember going to our hotel room and turning on the TV one time. And on their, like, major news network, they had this big breaking documentary about Donald Trump and Joe Biden and all of that. And it was so just wild to see that it was in the UK there, too. And they also were getting ready for an election in the UK a couple months after we went. So it was kind of on everybody's mind.
Yeah.
Mine was strictly COVID. I mean, that whole situation was, I mean, worldwide. It was a problem everywhere. And getting there, that was kind of the how do we get back into the norm, like do they wear masks here, do they not, like how far out
did
are
they?
We what it, I don't think so. I definitely brought some, I think maybe on the plane or maybe in the airport kind of thing, but over there it's a little bit more normalized, just for other reasons people may wear masks being outside. But that kind of the way that they handled things that affected it. When we tried to come back, and I said tried, like we didn't make it back. When we came back, when we were leaving, the Dublin airport, and the amount of people who did not return back to work from COVID in the airport, the line was over 5 hours long to get through everything. So we leaving, you know, multiple hours before we're supposed to be there. You have to have a negative test to get in and get on the plane. And then you have to go through customs and go through security. So that was definitely the, like, wow, this isn't a casual thing.
So you went to Dublin, right?
Yeah.
And that's in the Republic of Ireland. So that is not part of Brexit. Not necessarily. Northern Ireland is what is.
It's not in the UK. They're their own country.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is it harder to travel in between?
I don't think so. We didn't have any issues. It was more of just the lack of staff made things like take forever.
Yeah.
They didn't really ask us many questions either when we were getting our passport stamped. They were like, "Why are you here?" Like, "We're visiting." And they're like, "Okay, stamp, move on."
Oh, so you had the nice lady.
Yeah. I got all the nice people. They did not question me at all. It
not us.
Awesome.
What did we do, Maria?
I don't know. I did nothing. I did nothing.
I'm going to be honest. That was my first experience with anybody from, like, customs, and I was never more scared in my life.
I wasn't
stuttering.
I wasn't scared at all. I was just like, I understand you work at airport security for a living. I'm sorry. You chose that, babes. Don't be rude to me now. I didn't do nothing.
The accent.
No, the accent's really easy to slip into now.
Yeah.
Did you guys pick up, like, any terms of phrase you heard over there?
Things I can't say.
Same.
Especially after going to a football game.
Football.
That was really
fun. The tour guide that took us on our trip to Stonehenge and yes. Two Bath had Chris? Made a Chris. Comment about the royal last name that you get when you become queen. And instead of, is it Regine? Is that how you pronounce it? The way that it's spelled looks like the way that he pronounced it. Maybe I believed that for an extended period of time and brought that up to numerous people that I know. And eventually, just this year, told Dr. Coffee, and he was like, what did you just say? And I was like, you know, like the royal last name. That's not how you say it. Where did you hear that? Like my tour guide? Yeah, he was definitely joking. So I just went on for like 3 years pronouncing Queen Elizabeth's last name wrong. I got to see her though twice. So
yeah,
I want also the shout out to Mackey's instead of McDonald's. That was my favorite one.
Mackey's.
Oh. Yes, that's what they call it over there.
Oh really? Oh. Yeah. Well, I frequented Mackey's a lot on this. Same. Yeah. I told myself I wouldn't because it's like
we have it here,
but we don't have snack wraps here.
No, it's so different. And you could like eat it and not feel terrible after you ate it.
Let's talk about that. I have struggles with food in the U.S., gluten specifically, if we're going to name drop. And when I went into the U.K., they're gone.
Yeah.
They're gone.
Gluten's gone?
No, my issues.
Like I was like, where did they go?
She's gluten-free here, but you didn't hold back in the U.K., and she had no issues.
You
should have
seen me in Vapiano's.
Vapiano's. It's all coming back to me now. I think it's kind of it's just the way that their food, we kind of go on a system that's like, we don't test it or we don't know the side effects. The side effects are kind of up to you and there. It's just all completely banned. Also, I think it's definitely that we were walking around a lot more than we usually do here.
Oh, definitely. I think I hit 22,000 steps one day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
All that and more.
Yes, we did.
I want to shout out the English Bus Tour Company.
Yes.
I want to shout them out. I want to
give
them a
second.
Ricky,
when I catch you, Ricky, yes. For telling me that lie that I've told everyone.
So, when you go on the trip, there's a pretty good chance there will be one day designated to visiting Stonehenge.
And Bath.
And Bath, which is
a secret location.
A secret location, but you only get to figure that out if you go on the trip. So,
wait, hold on. Before we continue on, do they take everyone to the same secret location?
Did I ask you guys? I was like, I don't know where you guys went.
Do they?
I don't know. I don't want to like name drop if it's all the same.
I don't think so. Because they said on our trip they had like three different options.
Yeah.
We'll talk about this off the record. So the English Bus Tour, this was probably my favorite day out of the whole trip. My favorite day.
Oh, man. Yeah.
This company was so hospitable, kind, funny.
Hilarious, yeah.
I had so much fun that day. Yeah. So they drive you out, pick you up from your hotel, drive you out to Stonehenge. It's like, what, hour and a half?
Yeah, something like that.
What did you guys think of Stonehenge?
I didn't get any creepy vibes. I didn't feel anything. I was just looked at it. I was like, okay, cool. Let's go. Like,
I liked the sheep that were wandering around in the fields.
Yeah. I'm a sheep.
I think I was more taken by the more animals than I was by the rocks.
Did you feel something at the rocks?
I had an experience.
Please tell.
We went there. I was walking with your sister.
Yeah.
And we were walking around and we got to Stonehenge because they take you to the gift shop and then they take you actually up to Stonehenge. And I started seeing all these like black crows, had not seen them the whole entire trip. They were everywhere. And then I just started like getting these creepy vibes. And I was like, I don't know what they used to do here, but I'm no parts of it. I gotta go.
Yeah.
Wow. I just got a really cute selfie.
I know. Yeah, I have a picture of me like standing with the sheep in the background.
I got a great Instagram picture actually in front of Stonehenge.
I didn't get a creepy vibe, but they definitely were warning people about it before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
So I didn't experience anything.
And you caught up on that vibe?
Yes, for sure.
We had people on our trip who I think know more. I can say I know no more than I do about that and their beliefs and their kind of things. So that was more of a focus for them.
Yeah.
So I had people on my trip that like knew what that meant and represented far better than I could, because I was just like, wow, rocks, how did they get there? We'll never know.
Yeah. Yeah, I was kind of in the same boat, yeah.
I mean, I enjoyed the experience.
Oh, yeah, 1,000%. Oh, yeah. I liked going to Bath way better, though.
Oh,
that was so cool.
Oh, my gosh, Bath was beautiful.
Getting my Jane Austen book.
We all just like, oh.
We were in awe when we pulled up to, when we started driving through Bath.
I didn't even look up Bath at all. I was kind of just like, I just got a sheep from the gift shop in Stonehenge. I was really happy about it. And then we pulled up to Bath, I'm like,
like, I did not do any prior research about Bath. I didn't look it up, what it looked like, nothing.
And that's
so we pulled up, and I was like, jaw dropped. This is actually one of the most gorgeous cities I've ever seen.
If I remember correctly, it's either the birthplace of Jane Austen or where she wrote most
it's
of her
where
books.
She wrote
yes.
Most of her
okay.
Books.
So
and she didn't like it.
No, but I did, and I liked that I got
it,
a beautiful copy of Pride and Prejudice. So
the store was open when you went.
Yeah.
Oh, it was closed for us.
Yeah, it was closed for us. I loved Bath so much. Did you guys have a pasty?
Yeah.
Pasty?
Thoughts?
I did not like it.
No. There is no flavor.
I did not.
I did not like my I did not like it. Personally, the brown sauce kind of creeps me out.
Yeah, it's not for me.
It's not for me, and that's okay. But Bath is... It was one of my favorite things I saw on the trip.
Yeah. I would also say, like, because I don't know if I can say this, but the cider there is also very good because it's freshly brewed. So definitely, like, stop and try the cider. It's like apple juice, basically.
I think I liked Windsor more.
Windsor Castle.
Thank you. I was just going to say that.
Yes.
Windsor Castle was like jaw-droppingly
beautiful. That was the best.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that was the best thing I saw.
Maria knows this. Just this year finished The Crown from season 1 to season 6. So that being through it to the point that I was and walking around and it was so cool. And it was one of those moments where I was like,
this is where this scene took place.
I know where I am. Like, this is the most awesome thing I've ever seen. And and the town, the little town around, like Windsor itself.
Yeah, it's so
come
cute.
On. Oh, come on.
Lunch there.
Yes.
Yep.
Such a perfect setting.
My first fish and chips after Windsor. And then I spent many, many pounds on thrifting after.
Yeah. Ooh. Yes, I forgot about that.
I thrifted a beautiful, gorgeous leather jacket there.
You did. Yeah, you did. You hit the jackpot with that one.
I still think about it to this day.
Second favorite part of my trip, sorry to cut you there, Rochelle, was going to the Cliffs of Moher.
The what?
Cliffs of Moher in Ireland. We took a 4-hour bus trip from Dublin to, I think they're just a little south of Galway, but we kind of drove around it coming back. But that has to be probably number one, if not top two, most beautiful places I've ever seen in my life. Gorgeous sunny day, weather was warm, and we ended up taking a boat out, and we got to see where they filmed Harry Potter.
Do you know what parts?
The one, I don't remember the movie, but Harry, and he has to drink the water from the thing to get across the boat to go. I think it's the one with the Horcruxes and where he's trying to like get them all.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But yeah, I got to take a boat out. Like, it was the most beautiful place I've ever seen in my life. I love it.
That's so Ed Sheeran of you.
Yeah, I know.
Don't worry, you can go back again.
Little Galway girl, come on.
My probably the most beautiful thing I think I saw was St. Paul's Cathedral.
Mm.
And I'm a little biased because I did do my research paper project on that before.
Yeah.
So I already went in knowing, but
yeah.
What's the face for?
To me, it looked like a government building. Like, it didn't feel like a cathedral. It looked like a government building where they held official business. Did you go up the stairs?
Oh,
Yes, she did.
Such a good view. Such a good view.
Yeah, I tried to go up to, like, so St. Paul's, I think it's a total of probably, like, 500-ish stairs up to the very top circular, like, in the very top of the dome. you can go up about like 200 or so and you'll get to the Whispering Gallery. I did that. And then you can go up probably another 100 and you get to the Stone Gallery, which is on the outside of the dome. And that was beautiful because you could see like London skyline.
Yeah.
And then if you really feel like risking your life, you can go up the rest 200 up to the top of the dome. I tried. I got probably 50 steps up before I realized that I am not cut out for that life. And I was tired. I already did the steps. I don't know how many steps it was, but it was up in the London Tower.
I think it was 300?
300?
So, I don't know. London. I don't remember. I refused. <That's> like, I refused to sweat. I was like, I'm not sweating. You're on your own for that one, Rochelle.
No, that's fair, though. That's fair. But I loved St. Paul's.
Okay. Did any... Everybody went to Westminster Abbey, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you guys get any creepy vibes in Westminster Abbey? Because I did. I got vibes in Westminster Abbey.
Yes.
I did not. I was excited to see Bloody Mary and all of the other historical people there. It was great to walk by all them. Yeah, I thought Westminster was very nice.
Do you know where I got really creepy vibes from? The room where, now I'm forgetting, the two little boys.
Tower London, where the two little princes were murdered. I mean, that's what everyone thinks, but the royal family won't. They won't confess to it.
Obviously. Once you're in the room, I think you can.
Oh, no, you can. It's creepy.
You concur?
Yeah.
I definitely, if you want to go on the trip and you want to get like your background knowledge in history, you have to take Tudor Stuart England.
That will explain every single thing that you do.
You will go in there and you'll be like, I know who this is. I know who this is. This is what happened. All of it.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily enough for me and Maria, shout out Alyssa Marquez. She is a pro
She was in Tudor Stuart.
Yes.
Yes.
She was essentially our tour guide.
Yeah. I was like, who's this? What's this? What does this mean? And she'd explain it. I loved it so much.
So what was your absolute number one all-time favorite thing you saw? If you had like...
My favorite thing?
Name drop it right now.
I'd probably have to say Windsor Castle was the best thing I saw on the entire trip. I thought it was absolutely stunning. And especially because Cheyenne actually put me on to the crown.
Yes.
You know, like when you're like watching, like, well, like when your mom is like watching a TV show and like you walk in and then you like low key stand there and you're like standing there for 30 minutes watching it. That's what I would do with Cheyenne. And so I was like, oh, this is looking good. So I started watching it because of her. So I'm on season 4 right now. And so I walked into Windsor Castle. I was like, oh my God, this is where Jackie Kennedy was.
The coolest part is, jumping off of that back to the crown, because I could talk about that forever. Historical accuracy, very high. Not maybe, there's some things obviously that are gonna be more fudged and this and that, especially when it comes to Diana. But the cast of the show,
oh my gosh,
I don't understand how they could find so many people so identical in looks and voices. It just makes it all the more real, because you can look back on pictures of Winston Churchill and maybe hear his speeches.
Yeah.
But to see a guy who looks like the pictures of Winston Churchill, sounds like it, be him.
And an amazing actor on top of that.
Yes, it's just so awesome. I Windsor, Westminster, that was awesome. We took the Uber boat to Greenwich.
Yes.
So,
Yes.
We didn't get to do Greenwich at like barely at all.
We walked around Greenwich. We did the market.
Did you get an oyster?
No, we did not. No, they were not open.
They weren't open. They weren't there.
Oh, me and Nora had us an oyster and it was good.
I had the best pistachio donut of my life.
I did too.
What? Oh, yeah. We also in Paris, we got escargot.
Tell me about that.
Oh, so good. Me and Nora made me try it. I went out on a limb. It was very good. Also, side note, the best part for me was, well, of course, the food, like I've been talking about. Did you have the chocolate strawberries at Borough Market?
Yes, they were so good.
Yes, the chocolate strawberries. Well, that's a little more our time.
Oh, yeah, in my big age, back in my day, we didn't do things that.
I went a little crazy at Borough Market, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, we did the mac and cheese, the brisket sandwich.
Yeah, this like truffle, huge.
Oh, the truffle,
it was so good. That was my thing.
I really loved all the sights of Paris when we went. Funniest story, we went to the Eiffel Tower. We were up on the top as far as the normal people can go on the Eiffel Tower. And I was with Madison. And here comes this photographer. And she was like, hey, are you guys engaged?
Oh my gosh.
And we were like, no. And she was like, okay, I'll take your pictures. And we were like, okay. So we got us a professional photo shoot on the top of the Eiffel Tower. Best what? 40 euros I ever spent.
Oh,
I thought it was
gosh.
A scam for the longest time, but yeah. It was so good.
Dang.
Did you guys go to Portobello Road?
For a minute.
Yes.
Not for the original day because we missed our connecting flight to Heathrow when we first landed.
Yes. And then we were stuck in the Dublin airport for like 5 hours.
Which could
was
have
a
been,
great time.
It could have been bad, but we
it
made
great.
It good.
Yeah.
That's Greenwich.
Yeah.
And the most beautiful, sunny.
Oh, yes. It was so different from London.
I wish that it would have been like, I mean, when we went to Greenwich, I would say it's like, it was temperate weather, but yeah. I mean.
And it was sunny. So it was like probably the best weather that we had while we were there.
Yeah.
Making you jealous pulling up this photo, Rochelle.
I know. It's okay. You're going to take me back.
You'll I know. Take, I'll take you home.
Ireland.
I'll take you home.
Take me
Don't
home.
Worry about it. Also, I want to shout out my dearest friend, Mrs. Sarah Conroy, QU alum, women's lacrosse, of course. She is heritage Irish. Her parents came over and decided to stay in Chicago, and so she goes back a lot to go see her family, and I have learned a lot through her about that, and it was cool to get to go do that and see it and then come back and tell her about it and
yeah.
and talk to her parents who... For like live there, they're
yeah.
They know yeah. more than I ever will. So me knowing the little things and them kind of giggling at me, thinking I was so funny, but
yeah,
that's all. It's just to at least circle it back to something about the opportunity to get to know more about people
yeah.
is the coolest thing.
Yeah,
that I would do it 1,000 times. I'd go 1,000,000 places. I'd yes. go wherever.
Yes.
As a history nerd, already was interested in that. But now I feel like it just gives you so much of a better understanding. And you guys are Kansas City. You're from a bigger area.
Yeah.
Aaron and I are kind of from a smaller area.
Yeah.
So Hannibal ain't... Hannibal's not Chicago. I'm sorry. But just that opportunity to get to know a different country, how they run things, how they do things. Obviously, Revolutionary War. What was who was that? Learning more about that kind of stuff and just getting to know more about people that I love and care about because I've made friends from different countries here and getting to go and kind of see how they live life. You know, it makes you understand people better. It gives you an edge almost in jobs and situations to be able to talk about things or relate to different people. It's cool in admissions. I don't work with any of the international students, but just to be like, hey, I did this.
Yeah.
Hey, we have this opportunity if that's something you're interested in.
I think when you leave the UK, you can land back in the US. I think initially, like, everyone's like a little bit relieved to be back in their own bed and something. But something I didn't realize when I came back is that I feel like I had like gained something so like tangible and invaluable, like that no one else has experienced because truly it's your own personal experience on this trip. Yes, yeah. You're with a group of people. Yes, like they're all doing the same things as you, but the way in which you perceive all these interactions is completely special to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the growth is just wild. You're not traveling with your parents. It's just you with all these other people. Also, it kind of gives you like a perspective of like, hey, it's not just me. There's a big world out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So one of my big questions originally when I came back was, do you guys think that you came away with this trip for either a bigger appreciation for your own culture or critique of it?
I think it was a little bit of both. I think that I came back, you know, feeling very blessed and thankful for the life that I do get to live and the home I get to live in and the comfort I feel being here. However, there was a lot of critiques I did have on America that things could be better. Like, easy one, for example, that I can mention off the top of my head, food. You know, the food was absolutely delicious. I mean, some of it is a little unseasoned. It depends on what you get. But even, like, if you do go to, like, somewhere normal and you, like, go get a pizza, for example. Like, if you order Papa John's pizza, like, you're going to come out with freaking eat one slice, upset stomach, like, I have to go lay down. Yeah. As ain't in, I ate a whole Vapiano's 12-inch pizza to myself, walked out, not bloated. I wasn't bloated one time while I was there, while I was eating. Had no issues, and it was just great. So I think that was the main critique I had. There's other stuff, but I'm not gonna get into it.
I was like a mix of both as well. I think the one thing I thought was like, wouldn't it be so nice to not actually have to drive myself to all these places and just be able to take the train?
Yeah.
How fun would that be?
At the same time, I like having a car and I like getting up and going where I need to go immediately. Because then you have, like, you wait for the tube. I mean, it's not like, it's like, what, a minute wait, really. But it's like trying to, like, find a direction. As in, like, if I'm just, like, in my car, I pull up Apple Maps and boom, like, easy, simple, you know?
Yes.
Cheyenne? I think for me, it kind of lit a fire under my butt to want to do more.
Yes.
I, like I've said probably 30 times, from a very small area around here, haven't really left much. It's also very common for people who I've spent my whole life with to not want to leave. You know, they don't really care probably about the things that I found interesting or things that I'd want to do. So being somewhere and getting to talk to different people and seeing like, wow, this is what life could be like. I want to keep going. I want to keep doing more things.
Yeah.
That's a big thing. I don't think I really.
That's the travel bug.
Yes.
It'll get you bad.
Yeah. It has me.
Once you go one place, you just want to go see like everything. Mm-hmm. You want to experience everything.
Yes. I think for students who are thinking about the trip, if you're thinking about it, that means that at least a part of you wants to know what's out there. And I think that's an itch worth scratching at least once in your life. Yeah. And doing it within the comfort and safety of your university is probably the easiest way to go about it.
100%. Yeah.
Easiest way to go about it.
I was somebody that when I got the email, I didn't know anybody. I was brand new transfer student, barely had any friends just besides the couple people in my classes. Went to the class for the 8 weeks. Very first day, walked in, knew nobody. By the end of the trip, that was my little travel family. I knew them all so close. Still talk to most of them.
You
all
get
that.
Like a trauma bond with the group you're going, like for real.
Yeah, it's that 8-hour fly back. That's the trauma bond.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So for our last little segment of today, I have a fun little question and I'll present it and then go first. You guys have to think. But basically, the segment is like favorite songs of the week. But I'm going to put a little twist on it. Did you have one song that you were just bumping this whole trip, just put you, it was the aesthetic, it was the vibe. Yep, go to your Apple Music, go to your Spotify. If you can't think of one that you're listening to then, song would you give to your experience now? Me personally, this is an easy question.
Yeah, it's an easy question for me too. I think we might have the same one.
I don't think so. Well, okay, mine is When You're Gone by the Cranberries. First of all, the Cranberries in Scotland is... like, I lifted into the air.
You were levitating,
of course. Levitating in the Highlands. And that song just strikes a true chord in me. And I miss you, Scotland, when I'm gone. Is all I have to say.
Mine isn't as serious.
Okay.
Mine was, it's Gen Z Love by Central C. Like, that was just, like, the vibe while we were there.
Yes.
Like, and whenever, like, especially when we went to Bath, it was like, Gen Z love, IG love.
FYP. You, FYP me, and love. Gabe.
Yes.
Beatboxing in the back of the English tour bus.
To some Central C.
Yes.
Yes, we had a Central C song too. Oh, I forgot what it's called. Also, when we went on the English tour bus, or the English bus, did they ask you guys to play songs?
No, he wouldn't give us aux.
They asked to play us songs, and we played Party in the USA, but we changed it to Party in the UK.
Oh, my gosh.
Me and Maria have a tiff about Party in the USA.
Yeah, but we can't.
We don't have time to get into that.
I was there when, and this is also probably going to date me, Harry Styles dropped Harry's house. The whole album came out. Listen to that. Zach Bryan also dropped American Heartbreak. So I listened to all that. I know. Am I making the names of these albums up?
No. But what's your top one?
My number one, there's two songs that I listened to the entire time there. One of them was Grime by Stormzy, a song called Vossy Bop. And that, if you don't know, look it up. Their like version of rap is called Grime. Stormzy was very popular, and the song was called Vossy Bop.
Is Central C Grime?
Not my culture. Well, I can't speak on it, but like, he does grime, whatever that is, like rap kind of vibe. It was so cool. And then, I just had it on the tip of my tongue. Oh, Man Eater by Hall & Oates.
Yeah.
But that's a song for all the time. Hall & Oates, you know, a little Fleetwood Mac, that's good for everywhere. And I just felt like, yeah.
Fleetwood Mac is good for the
Beatles, you know, Blackbird walking around.
Yes. All right, Aaron, what's your song?
Oh, I would say Party in the UK.
Oh, Party in the UK. Okay, gotcha, gotcha.
Did you do it with an accent?
No.
Did you guys perfect your accent on this trip? Please tell me you did.
I did.
Even the...
I got complimented that I had the best English accent he's ever heard from an American.
Maria, let's close out today with a quick... Can you give us a quick taste of the English accent?
I need... I don't know what to say.
Okay. Introduce yourself.
Okay.
Or you can give yourself an outro. Say it's been really nice chatting with you.
It's been really nice chatting with everybody. I just want to say thank you guys so much for having me. Rochelle, thank you. I really appreciate it.
This is really good.
The state I'm in right now, bruv.
The state. It's crazy. And to finish off with that, I would like to thank you, my guests, Maria, Aaron, Cheyenne. Thank you listening to QU. I'm Rochelle Witzke, and this has been a production of the QU Media Podcast Network.